appreciate you for making it possible for us to be here this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we are about to go into your word this morning, you are the great teacher. We ask that you teach each and every one of us from above in Jesus' name. Father, prepare our hearts, O Lord. Begin to replace any stony heart with that of flesh, O Lord. Father, we don't want all these things that we hear, O Lord, stand against us on that day in Jesus' name. And Lord, we are tired of just hearing the word. Help us, O Lord. Enable us, O Lord, so that we be doers of your word in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. This morning, we'll be encouraging ourselves in the next 30, 40 minutes about consistent Christian living. We all know that, you know, when we give our life, that is not the end of the journey. It is the beginning. And we have to be consistent. If we are not, we'll not be able to make heaven. Consistent Christian living is very important because the devil will allow us, you know, to give our life, but he will do anything so that we'll not be able to make it to the end. That is why, as a Christian, we have to be vigilant. We have to be determined and to make up our mind that whatever it is, that heaven, we are going to reign with Christ in Jesus' name. You know, and there's one thing that is peculiar to us, we believers of the last days, you know. It is very easy for us, you know, to look at it and say, oh, will Christ come again? I told the people in my house fellowship that, you know, I was speaking to somebody and the person said, oh, sister, but me, I'm tired. Stop telling me about Christ. They've been telling me that Christ will come since I was a child. Now I'm this year old. Christ is not coming. You know, it is very easy for us as even the believers to think that way. To tell us the truth, Christ is coming and there is heaven and hell. So we have to be prepared and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, and the Bible has even warned us against it. You know, let's quickly open our Bible to Matthew 24. We are talking about consistent Christian life, because if we are not consistent, we'll not be able to make it. If you are there before me, you can read. Please, I would like three readers. You know, normally, I like people to read, because when you read, you don't forget. And I can assure you that some of us, maybe we last opened our Bible since last Tuesday, which is very, sometimes it can be like that, you know, after Tuesday house fellowship, you won't even bother to read the Bible again. Praise the Lord. So I want three people to read for me. So Mrs. Solale, you read for me. Sister Abuki Malomo, you read for me. And Brother Bolajisa, you read for us. So Matthew 24, we are talking about consistent Christian life. Matthew 24, 48 to 49.
Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the bad pains, with more to come."
Praise the Lord. Yeah, Matthew 24. 48 to 49. Okay, sorry.
"My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite. Shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in a hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Praise the Lord. You know, when we look at it, we say, oh, this, what, will Christ still come? He's telling, he's making us understand today that Christ is still coming. You know, it's very easy to look and say, oh, Well, I don't know. They've been telling me when this one happened, and it has been happening. Christ is not yet here. So let's look another warning in 2 Peter. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible has already sounded the warning that the end will come. So who are we not to believe? 2 Peter 3. Let's start from 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the helmet will melt with fervent heat. Both the head and the works that in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought to be in holy conduct and godliness?
Let's look at 4 again, verse 4. The same 2 Peter 4.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued the way from the beginning of the creation. For they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and they are standing out of water in the water, but by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
Praise the Lord. No, the devil is so cunning. He'll be deceiving us, and we'll be asking ourselves, where is the promise of Christ? He's coming. That is why he said to us that he's going to prepare a place for us, that if it were not so, he will not say that. He said, if our hope were to be in this world, that would be most miserable. So the end will come, and we have to be prepared. There's no point for us, you know, running the Christian race, and we don't make heaven. Heaven is real, and God will help us so that we'll be partaker in Jesus' name. You know, many of us, when we begin this Christian race, we are very zealous, you know. I remember then, when they say anything, you know, we just take it. We take the word of God by what the way it comes out. We just take it like that, you know. We'll be able to do anything for Christ. And God knows that, you know, sometimes that we can wear, that we can be lukewarm. That is why he said that we should walk the walk of our salvation with fear and tremble. The work there is to be consistent. You know, if we are one leg in, one leg out, then it means we are not consistent. And you know what can follow? We backslide, and before we know it, we don't know when the end will come. And you know, then what we can't? Nothing. It means that we'll not be able to reign with him. That is why we should be determined to live a life that is patterned after Christ, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Like, you know, there are some steps that we have to follow to live the consistent Christian living. You know, I always tell the people in the South that, you know, there's no how you can serve God and you not have the mark that people will see. I told them, it's not the type of mark we are talking about that today I'm supposed to be sleeping, it's raining, but I just managed to come to the church. That is not the type of mark we are talking about. It's winter. Look at me now. I have lots of things to do, but I drag myself to church. You don't need to drag yourself. You have to come willingly to church. That is not the type of mark we are talking about. We know the type of mark Jesus Christ, our perfect example, had. You know the type of mark Apostle Paul had. You know, many times Apostle Paul will have to be, you know, quick. Somebody will have to let him down from the fence when he preached the gospel, and people are starting to kill him. Remember Daniel. Remember Paul and Silas. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are the type of mark we are talking about. You know, it's not going to be convenient. We are going to lose friend. You know, there are some places that we cannot go. There are some things that we cannot do. There are some things we cannot say. There are some movies we cannot watch. There are some things that we cannot even, you know, we can't even smell. Am I right? Because of Christ, those are the type of mark we are talking about. And I have 7 steps here that we quickly go through, because today is our Thanksgiving Sunday, and we still do Thanksgiving. Number one here is closeness to the Word of God. We have to be close to the Word of God, because if we are not close to the Word of God, we cannot be consistent in this race. So let somebody quickly open to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we read 9. We take 9 first. Psalm 119. Are we not there? I want all of us to be there. Psalm 119. Praise the Lord. You know, if you are not close to the word of God, how can we hide the word of God in our heart? You know, it is the word of God that we know that will not make us sin. Because if we are still living in sin, I don't know how we are going to reign with him. So we have to be very close to the word of God. I told them last Tuesday, I said what we were taught in a Bible college is that, you know, you go and get a cardboard. You know, this $1 cardboard. You cut it into these little squares. Then, if you are like now in your quiet time, if you are dealing with, we are reading about holiness, take a couple of scripture from that holiness, put it, you know, like a child, just write it there and begin to memorize it. And by the time you know it, you will know scripture, you will know it. So when you are going to use it to pray, or when you are going to use it to encourage people, you just bring it out. I told them that I will bring it next Tuesday for them so that they will see. Sometimes when you are by yourself, even with the children are there, sometimes I give it to the children. You hide it. What does it say? Then I will say it. Kingdom of God, you know, it is not a joke. Even if they laugh, I know what I'm doing. I'll just do it. And I told them that they can do the same too. That there are some things in the Bible that when I start it like this, I expect people to just take over. And we'll be looking at ourselves. I said, that is not right. We get this cardboard and we do it. And by the time we do it, I give us 6 weeks. We know the basic one even to say. And we even go beyond basic in Jesus' name. Let's look at verse 11. The same Psalm 119, 11.
The word have I hidden in my heart that will not sin against you.
9, please.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
Praise the Lord. You know, how can we do it? According to the word of God. That's what we had this morning. You know, once there is something and the Bible is open and we see it, that's why there are many translations. If you are not familiar with King James is too hard, there's good news. Good news is the simplest. If that one is too hard, NIV. You know, there are lots, and we can go on the computer. We all have access to it. So we have to be close to it. Let's look at 105, the same 119, verse 105.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Praise the Lord. Say the word of God. What does light do? It will guide us, you know. If we are close to the word of God and we know it, we memorize it, we do what it says, you know. Even when we are missing it, the word will bring us back. Praise the Lord. You know, and when we depend upon the word of God, you know, God too we help us. When we are confused and we look at the word of God and look at what it says and we just do what it says, the blessing will be ours. The word of God will give us instruction. It will tell us what to do, when, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. Let's look at the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach." You know? To teach, you know, to do it. That's why as Christians, we have to know the word of God. That's why I always tell the young mom, I say, now that the moment you begin to have children, you are now a pastor. I told them, I said, your pulpit can be everywhere. It can be in the bathroom, in the toilet, on the road, in the car. Because the children will ask you questions and you have to be prepared to get answer for them. Because the children, they know too. I told them on Tuesday, once they ask you something and you yourself, you are not sure, they will be discouraged. That is why we have to know. We have to know for ourselves and to teach others. And God will help us in Jesus' name. If we are close to the word of God, we'll be steadfast, you know, and we stand in time of trouble and temptation. That is the word of God that will help us. And the second one is praying always. We have to pray always. Luke 18:1, that we should pray always. You know, sometimes in the morning, we find it difficult to wake up and pray. You know, and we say, I've done it before. I say, I'll pray in the car. To tell you the truth, I won't. You have to make the time to pray in the morning. You know, there's this preacher who said that you cannot use God as an errand boy. In the morning, when you are going out, you didn't call on God, you didn't pray. Then when you are out there, you had trouble, then you decided to call God. That is not done like that. We have to make time. I said we can even, there's a way we can prepare our schedule. Okay, we say, okay, the children will go to bed early. Then we'll be able to make time to pray. And apart from the family prayer or whatever, we have to separate time ourselves to pray for ourselves, because we need to pray. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's saying the same thing, that we should pray without ceasing. It's not telling us to complain every time. We should pray. We should pray, not complaining. We should focus on those things that God has done, not those ones that he has not done. We should not be looking at complaining every time. Lord, you know, this. No, pray. Pray for even those things that he has not done. And I want us to read this place. It's very important. Let's look at Mark 1:35. If you are there before me, you can read. Mark 1:35. It's a place that we should all know. You don't even need to open it. Am I right? Mark 1:35. Praise the Lord. That, who is that? That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, he separated himself to pray. That is what we should be doing if we want to live, you know, a consistent Christian life. We have to pray, separate ourselves. You know, we cannot play with our quiet time. We can't. That is why the Bible says that every man, he did not say every church or every family, every man, individual. This business is an individual business. And God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, we cannot miss our quiet time. You can do it maybe when the children are in school, when you are by yourself. Remove your phone. Because sometimes the devil is working hard too. It is when you decide to pray that your friend that you've not heard for years will call you and you'll be chatting. And by the time you finish chatting, you look at the time. Oh, it's time to pick the children. It's time to do the dinner. Where is the quiet time? Off your phone. Sometimes you off your phone for 1 hour. Nothing will happen. And you pray. We have to do our own quiet time, different from the family and the one you do for the children. You know, even our children, they are at an in different level. Some of the children, you have to remind them to pray. You have to do separate Bible study, because, you know, we all know our children now. We know how they are. There are some things that you have to teach them individually and collectively. And God will help us in Jesus' name. We should not joke with our quiet time, despite the fact we run a very tight schedule. All of us, we do. We run a very tight schedule. Don't pray in the car. Separate time for Jesus. And he will honor you in Jesus' name. Say constant fellowshipping with God and believers. That is what we are doing. If we look at Acts 4:42-47, that is what the people then, they were doing. That's what the disciples, they were doing. You know? And it says in Hebrews 10:25, we read that one, Hebrews 10:25, it's talking about not forsaking the assembly of each other. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews 10:25. Are we all there? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Praise the Lord. We should gather regularly with the people of God. The devil is very wise. He knows all the excuses that we give you so that we not fellowship together. I'm not talking about this church alone. No, you know, if the devil wants to take somebody away, to disfellowship the person. You know, he knows what to do. Immediately you enter the fellowship, you see somebody that look at you with bad eyes. That is the devil now. You look at you, then you get to him, say, look at the way Mrs. A look at me this morning. I don't think I'll go to that place anymore. Then you move. You go to point B. Devil will position somebody there again. You say, I enter, I greet the pastor's wife. Maybe because it's the pastor. Look at the way she even answer me. Then you will move again. The devil, he doesn't want you to fellowship, because the Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of other people who has your faith. You should not forsake the assembly. You will see 1,001 reasons why people, what the devil will do, so that will not make us to fellowship with each other. Is it time? The devil will tell you that. Why can't they start the church by 10? Why would they start? Why can't they start by 12? You know, this is weekend now. We have to sleep in a bit. That is devil. He's very wise. He's struggling too. He doesn't want us to go, but it is left to us. We have choice to make. And God will help us to make the righteous in Jesus' name. It says we have to be committed, you know, to evangelism and God's work. John 9:4. Let's open our Bibles to John 9:4. We have to be committed to evangelism. It's very important. We've been looking at how we are going to do evangelism on one Saturday, you know, in the Fremantle area. We've been working towards it, but we've not come out with anything. So as we hear this morning, God will help us so that we'll be able to set time aside to do what God asks us to do in Jesus' name. John 9:4. Are we there? We should not open it. Praise the Lord. The work of who? Who sent us? Why? When? Now is the time. We can't postpone it. We have to do it. We have to do it. There's no one that is useless in the kingdom of God. No. We have a place. If you are not good in one thing, you'll be good in the other thing. There's nobody. Even if you don't know what you are, ask God. God will reveal the area you are good at to you. Nobody is useless. What we need to do is to show the commitment. We have to show commitment. If you are not good in singing, you may be good in evangelism. If you are not good in that one, you may be good in beautifying the church. Nobody is useless in the kingdom. Let's look at Mark 16:15. The Great Commission. Mark 16:15. Praise the Lord. That we should go and preach the gospel without any barrier. It's not when it is convenient for us. No. We hear news of missionaries in the mission area. You know what they go through. Look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not when it's convenient for us. We have to look for ways, time, and do it. We have to ask God for grace and ask God to enable us. If you look at 1 Corinthians 9:16, Apostle Paul is talking about something there. 1 Corinthians 9:16. If you are there before me, you can read 1 Corinthians 9:16.
Woe is me if I do not preach the glad tidings, that is the gospel.
Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul saw preaching of the word of God as his only reason for living. You know, he did not leave any time for the devil to use. He's always going places. He's always preaching the gospel. So that is the same thing that we should be doing. When we look at the situation around us, say, oh, is it possible for us to preach the gospel here? It is possible. If you go to the city, you see people who are standing in the CBD area. They give pamphlets out. We can do it. We have to preach the gospel. What we know, we have to teach others. We have to continue to win souls. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Number 4, we should abide in Christ. We all know the popular Bible passage for that. Let's look at John 15. If you want to reign with Christ, we have to abide in him. John 15:1-6.
every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it will take away. And every branch that bears fruit, it will prune, that may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. I abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Mm-hmm. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, we are his friend when we do what? We must remain in Christ. It means we have to be determined never to backslide, ready to obey God's word at any time, either it's convenient for us or not. You know, sometimes it can be very difficult, but still, we have to obey it. And also, we have to ask for grace to obey the leadership of wherever we find ourselves in, either in the church, in our secular job. We have to ask for grace, because it takes grace. If we are not in obedience to the leadership of the wherever we find ourselves, we are not in Christ. You know, like now in Australia here, we know what we are to do and what we are not to do as a citizen. We know our rights and what we are not supposed to do. Once we continue to do what we are not supposed to do, what will happen to us? What will happen? The same thing with Christ. You know, the Bible says we should obey the law of the land. If the law says 60, we should do 60. The same thing with God. If we abide in him, you will bear more fruit. You know, what are the fruit we are talking about? Obedience. You know, we bear more fruit. We be humble. We be humble. And, you know, abiding in Christ will lead to holiness, because without holiness, we cannot see God. If we abide in him, he abides in us, and holiness will follow. That is why it's very important, abiding in Christ, if we are going to reign with him, so that we'll not be cut off. Because heaven is real, and we are all going to make it in Jesus' name. You should abide in him. I remember then when we were in school, there's this lady, she's always, you know, the teacher cannot even talk. You know, it got to a stage that we don't even know what to do. Everybody is afraid. Then we just look at it. It's in Australia here. Then we just look at it. I say, what is this? You'll be the one to do what you are not supposed to do. You'll be the one to come late. You'll be the one to dress inappropriate. You'll be the one to put on open shoe where you are supposed to put covered shoe. And everybody will be looking. Then, you know, the teacher could not even teach anymore. Then the principal just said, well, it can't continue like this. It's either if you want to study in this institution, you have to do what what we say. It has to be by our own rule. So the same thing with Christ. If we are a child of God, we have to do what he says. We have to read the word of God and do it and ask for grace. God is always there to give us grace to do it. We can do it. If he knows that we cannot do it, he will not ask us to do it. He knows we can do it. Jesus Christ, our perfect example, did it. You know? So that is why we have to be determined that this heavenly race, we are not going to be tired. That we are going to make it to the end in Jesus' name. Another thing is that, you know, if we want to reign with Christ, we have to be full of thanksgiving. We have to always thank him every time. You know? we should not focus on the things that, you know, we are still asking God for. Be in the attitude of thanksgiving every day of our life. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. This is in the time when we pass our exam. No. In everything. Because He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. We should give thanks. We should thank Him. It's not only when we are happy. You know, when we even give thanks, it shows that we have trust in God and His word, that He's going to do it for us. It shows humility. We should always thank God. And it shows that we love Him when we thank Him for what He has done. We all know what He has done for us, so we should always be in the attitude of thanksgiving. It's very important. Even thanksgiving is very important to Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Let's quickly look at Luke 17. We see He's very interested in thanksgiving. That is Jesus. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Luke 17.
And Jesus continued. Now it happened as He went into Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers. They stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when He saw them, He said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at His feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were they not found who returned to give? Were there not any found to who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner? And He said unto him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well."
Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ appreciates coming to give thanks. You know, we should always learn to thank God for everything. You know, and look at what happened to this man when he returned. He got wholeness. He said, "Arise, go, your faith had made you well." He got salvation when he went to give thanks. He got more. And it's the same thing. You know, there's this Yoruba adage that if you learn to say thank you, you will learn to receive more things. The same thing with God. So it is very important that we always give thanks, just like the Bible has commanded us to do, that we should give thanks always, not when things are rosy. No. Even when we go through hard time, we should give thanks. I share with somebody, I said I knew one couple, you know, we were in Ballarat together. This couple, she will be crying and she will be saying, "Lord, I thank you for bringing me to Australia." Then I will be looking at her. So she was holding on to this scripture then. She will be crying like this, tears will be rolling. She will be in the hospital and will be crying. Then she just clean up and say, "Lord, I thank you for bringing me to Australia." And I just look at her. So that is what we should be doing. When we are going through trials, temptation, tribulation, we should always give thanks because He knows. And if we open even when we are going through things, if we open our eyes clearly, if we open our spiritual eyes, God is taking us through something. We should be ready to open our eyes and learn. God is taking us through something. It's not in vain. God is saying something to us. And also, if we are going to reign with Christ, who are we not to forgive? Forgiveness is very important. If you want to live a consistent Christian life, you have to forgive always. Let's look at Colossians 3:13. Forgiveness is very important. Colossians 3:13.
Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so must you do.
Praise the Lord. Even as we receive forgiveness from Christ, that we should do what? We should forgive others. You know, it's not for us to say, he even said, I'm sorry, but he said it with the left leaf. He said, I'm sorry. It's not. Look at the body language. The forgiveness is not genuine. He said, I'm sorry. We should not make things, we should not complicate things. Say, it even takes grace to even tell somebody, I'm sorry. Am I right? Saying it, say, look at the way he's standing akimbo. Saying, forgive me. We should just take it. Just how many of us know that? How do we hear Christ maybe every time, even in our thought, in our deed, he knows. But what? He forgave. So who are we? Let's even look at Matthew 8:18, what he says there again. She's talking about forgiveness. Matthew 18:21-22. Matthew 18:21-22.
Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times. Jesus says to him, I say not to thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. For this cause the kingdom of the heaven has become like a king who would reckon with his...
Praise the Lord, man.
Hallelujah.
How many times?
70 times. 70 times 7.
Can somebody offend us? Even husband and wife, that you sleep together, you do everything, can you offend each other that much in a day? So we have no option. We have to forgive. That is what he's saying. Another thing, and the devil is so funny, especially husband and wife. You just create this resentment, you'll not be able to forgive. Look at it this way. If you quarrel with your husband or your wife, you won't be able to pray together. Am I right? You won't be able to pray. There will be communication breakdown. You will have to learn to forgive. Let me even tell you, even if you finish one now, another one will still. So why people learn to forgive? Because it won't stop. No, it won't stop. Because they will use it. It's the people that you interact with that you offend. You know, it's very hard for me to offend somebody who is in where now? In Africa. You know, the people you see every time. You say, people will say, I don't want to step on people's toes. Step. It's not possible. If you say, you won't do anything. If you don't want to step on anybody's toe, then you won't do anything. Even your husband, if husband and wife, if you want to not to step on each other's toe, then you won't do anything. We have to learn forgiveness. It's very important. You know, if we don't forgive, it will affect many things in the home, even in the church. Let's look at the home first. You know, you won't talk. You know, there are some people when the husband and they see the number, they won't pick it. And it can be something, you know, very close to the two of them, very important to the two of them. They won't pick it. There will be no prayer in the morning because everybody will just wake up and turn the other side and just go like robots and go my way. Then the other person wake up and I'm going my way. The children will just will be known. The children will know. Then they will be wondering. Especially those of us that our children are grown ups. We have to be very careful. They know. Then they will be wondering. They will come and tell you, hey, Mom, hey, what is wrong? You understand? We have to forgive. Then what suffer now? The morning prayer. The children, they will not take their blessing before they go to school. Then the husband, if we manage to go to work, will not be able to perform well at work. The wife too will not be able to perform well because, you know, the devil is so funny and will be telling you things to do when you get back home. Even if you greet, you don't even answer. Don't answer. Even if you manage to prepare food, or if you don't even prepare, you say, you know, you'll be tightening up. You know, the Bible says that if we have anything against you, that we should quickly finish it so that the devil will not do what? The devil will not put stronghold. It's there. Forgiveness is very important. In the church, if we are not going to forgive each other, there can be no unity. We can't move forward. There will be no progress. Am I right? I will say some things that we think maybe somebody has told me. Sometimes nobody say anything. It just come like that. We say something exactly as it has happened maybe in your home. I say, eh? You have to be careful. People are talking, no? Sometimes nobody talks. It is the word of God. There's no how you come to church and you hear the preaching that will not affect you. I've been to churches and, you know, and that I don't even know. And they will say something as if they have camera in my house and as if they recorded what happened. You know, we have to forgive. And, you know, even among members, if we don't forgive ourselves, we will not be able to fellowship together. We will not. It will be hard to even during the week to ring, say, Sister so and so, how has been your week? If we don't forgive, we will not be able to do that. There will be no, and when there's no unity, we cannot achieve anything. Forgiveness is very important. And look at what even Matthew 5:23 says. Matthew 5:23. Let's all of us should go there, I think, and read it. Praise the Lord. What does it say? If you remember that your brother has something against you, and we come to the church, we want to lift up holy hand, you know? They say we should quickly go back and reconcile. What will it take us? We have to humble ourselves. We should go back before we even come to the church. That is how God sees and takes forgiveness. It's very important that we have to learn to forgive. In anywhere we find ourselves in, we have forgiveness is very important. It's very powerful. If I remember somebody who came to us when one elderly man came to us during when we had crisis here and said, Sister Bumi, I'm in your house now. You don't have any option than to forgive me for what I've done wrong. Then he said, if you don't forgive me, your prayer will not be heard. Then I said, who am I not to forgive you, sir? I said, it's finished. Then since then, we extend hand of fellowship to each other. And that's why we have to, it's undebatable. We have to forgive. There's no shortcut to it. It's either we forgive or we forgive. No. That is not in the Bible. It's either we forgive or we forgive. There's no shortcut. You know? It's either we are for Christ or what? Or we are against him. So, it's either we forgive or we forgive. There are a lot of, you know, I know, I've been through it before. You know, sometimes it can be very hard. But what are we going through that Christ has not done for us? So if we want to reign with Christ, we have to learn to forgive others. You know, we have many points here: abiding in him, forgiving always, give thanks always, you know, committed to the word of God and evangelism. You know, we have to be close to the word of God. That is studying the word. You know, those are the steps that will help us so that at the end of it, we'll be able to reign with him. And we all know the benefits of a consistent Christian living. Do we? What is the promise? Yes. We have eternal life. So that is it. Let's look at Matthew 19. The promise is there. Matthew 19. 27. Hope I get it right. Matthew 19.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee.
Yes.
What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in this regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory,
mm-hmm.
he shall also sit upon 12 thrones,
mm-hmm.
judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
29.
And everyone that forsaken houses,
mm-hmm.
or brethren,
mm-hmm.
or sisters,
mm-hmm.
or father,
mm-hmm.
or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my own sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Praise the Lord. That we are going to inherit what? This promise is not for the apostle alone. It's for us. You know? We'll be in the presence of the Almighty God forever. We know when we get to heaven, there will be no worries. You know, there's this song that we used to sing, that when we get to heaven, there will be no more heartbreaking, no more shepherding, you know, farewell to sorrow. Don't we love that? No, there are a lot of stress down here. Am I right? We want to live a life of stress that is free of stress. We want to just be worshiping God, abiding in Him, nothing, no trouble. So that is why we have to take all these things seriously. I remember then there was a message like this that came out about forgiveness. How many people call us, you know? Remember then, it was in the house fellowship. People came and said, well, 3 years ago, we were looking for a place to stay. And we learned that we told you that to accommodate us, but you didn't. Nobody came to us. If this lady has not come to us, he'll be holding this thing against us. He, after the something like this, after the house fellowship, she called us. That's about 9 years ago or 6 years ago. We now said, who did you send? Nobody came. And the person went back and said, oh, they said they can't accommodate you. Thank God for her boldness. Thank God that she used that to the word of God. She came. Then we said, nobody. Then my kids are even still little, that we can still even manage one to stay in one room. We said, nobody can say, eh? Then the person now said, when they told me, I didn't even bother to tell you, because I thought it's going to be difficult. Then you went back, you know, and the person came. You know, she come, you will know, but in her mind, she's there. But she came. So God will help us in Jesus' name. If we know we want to reign with Him, you know, we have to live the consistent Christian life. You know, the first week we got born again. You know how we are burning for Christ. God wants us to continue that way so that we'll be able to reign with Him. You know, if you look at everything we study today, you know, even the song, everything is focusing about heaven. And God will help us so that we'll be able to make it to heaven in Jesus' name. So can we rise up and just pray about what we have had? And today is our Thanksgiving Sunday. So somebody sang this song. Say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Tell Him that you have made up your mind that you are not going to turn back, that you are going to reign with Him. Begin to talk to the Almighty God. Nothing, the Apostle Paul said, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Is it trouble, tribulation, trial? Be determined, we can do it. Be determined to reign with Him.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can we just pray that every obstacle to your reigning with Him, that God will remove it in Jesus' name. Every obstacle, every whether it's external or within, wherever it may be located, because it's a matter of life and death. Whether we like it or not, there will be eternity. There will be eternity. The choice we have to make is where we are going to spend eternity. We are either spending it on the side of God or on the other side.
There is eternity. So ask God. Say, whatever is going to be a barrier to my reign with you, Father, remove it from my life. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. Remove it from my life in Jesus' name. Remove it from me in the mighty name of Jesus. I will make it. I will make it. I will make it. I will make it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we just pray for the preacher? Ask that God will increase her anointing. Ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will teach her the more. Ask that God, because she has come to speak this word, that the Lord himself will take her to higher heights in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this word. I've been blessed to forgive. I've been blessed to pray consistently. I've been blessed to seek your face. I've been blessed to depend upon your word. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lastly, can we just thank God for this month?